Hot round! Red 7, red 7, red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what red 7 means.
I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
You don't think that lame-ass play where I run down the field and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch!
Nom 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 nom.
Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get me the ball.
That's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
Welcome into 11 Personnel. Nick Roush here with Adam Luckett. 2 weeks of this Luckett, and didn't expect to be talking about losses in each of the first two games start this season. And I mean, I try not to spoil any content before we start talking, but man, I'm not looking forward to this. I tried to put the game away, tried to move on, but we got to talk about it. It sucked.
It's one thing to go 0-2, but to go 0-2 the way they did, really, when I look at this team, like, I still think this is a good football team. I think they've gotten some like unfortunate luck where they just haven't got the bounces their way. And then there's one specific position that is just really letting the team down.
And that would be
on top of some boneheaded moments from other positions. But the corner position just has not been good. I mean, it's been pretty bad, to put it bluntly. And Auburn obviously had that one receiver that could take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they just really got exposed against what was pretty much a Big 12 offense, what we saw from Ole Miss. And the strategy, I think, was the right strategy. And they did what I thought they would do, but it was just Matt Corral didn't make any mistakes. And he was slippery in the pocket. The pass rush really didn't affect him all game. So you had, you know, double trouble element there where he could run it, or he could run around and make a throw. And then you had just, you know, breakdowns, multiple breakdowns. You had three PIs that directly led to touchdowns, all from the corner, and then one from, you know, your slot corner, your nickelback.
Like, yeah, and that one from Robinson was, I think if you had them all on a scale.
Yeah, it's bang, bang.
Yeah, but like, so the Kelvin Joseph one was, okay, yeah, I'd throw the flag there. The second, the Dort one, correct? That was the bang. That was the other one where that one was really, that one's 50-50. The Devontae Robinson one, like, come on, that's defense. Like,
yeah.
That, come on. Yeah. You can't call that. But nevertheless, that's kind of the scale they were on. And I mean, even if just one of those goes differently, they all happened. I think two were in the red zone. I mean, one was in the end zone. Was Dort's in the end zone too?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Robinson one was on a crucial third down. And I think Ole Miss went down and tied it or took the lead on the following drive.
I can't remember if it was their first touchdown drive or second touchdown drive of the second half.
But either way, that's a huge stop. Mm-hmm. And they didn't get it. So in the thing, Luckett, I think that is most surprising is just that we thought this was going to be the strength of the team. And it's been quite the opposite. So, like, I don't – were we just all idiots? Like, we thought
Kentucky had two draft picks at corner. Thought Echols could play himself into probably the late rounds this year, and Joseph long term, he's got all of the requirements to be an NFL player. And it's just not clicking. I don't know why or what's going on. I know there was some scuttlebutt that was maybe a position that got hit by COVID during practice. So maybe that plays part of it, but they're just really struggling. And they're getting bullied too. Like, Jonathan Mingo was just running over dudes and then like talking smack to Joseph. And then next play was going and scoring on his butt. So it's just like, man, I think this week for those two guys specifically, I think it's a big week for them. Because they're going to get challenged again. Now, these receivers coming up aren't the freaks that I think they just played. I think Mingo and Seth Williams are both, you know, NFL guys, like going to be probably starting on NFL teams. But, yeah, I mean, it's a shame. You run for 400-something yards and don't win the football game. That stinks. And there, I mean, there's so many layers to that game I think we could get into. But I think one thing what people aren't really talking about much, at least around here, is I think like Matt Corral's probably pretty damn good.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder too, like what the hell Rich Rod was doing. And I get that he liked, you know, he has that, he likes to run a lot of that mesh stuff. And I get that to an extent, but if you've got somebody who's that good of a passer, like, what are you doing? Also, can we, I know that this is me just picking one mistake out of like 1,000 that were made, but they put in John Rhys Plumlee on a short yardage situation and the outside linebacker bit on the fake to the running back. It's like, dude, wait, that's why they put him in. Like,
yeah, whenever they put Plumlee in, though, that was a win for Kentucky. Like, looking back, like, those plays were wins for Kentucky. Like, I think Lane's messing around too much there. But that was the best quarterback performance we've seen against Kentucky since Lamar, 2017.
Kyle Trask was pretty good in the second half.
I don't think it was that good. I mean, this was a whole game of it where he did. I mean, it was where Trask was just a half or a quarter and a half.
Yeah, and I think what really made Corral just really put him over the top was that there was multiple situations where UK had pressure and he was able to get rid of it, or UK just mess it up. The use of Corker safety blitz was, I mean, just,
yeah, that was a big miss.
Tackle him, dude. Like, he like fell down and then he got up again and he almost
dive. You just gotta stay on your feet against a guy like that. Like that guy, it's not about kill shot, it's just about, you know, getting him to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then Corral, there was one play where he slips out of a Jordan Wright sack, steps up in the pocket. It's third and like 6. He does a little flick of the wrist to Snoop Connor, who catches it and goes for a first down. As soon as he does that, Marquez Bembry about saws him in half.
Oh, man, he did. He knocked the absolute hell out of him.
And then he gets up, shakes it off. Lane Kiffin said sometime in the second half he took a hit, went in the locker room. They didn't know if he was going to come back, came back, and still.
I mean, Bembry hit him so hard, he went to the sideline.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. I didn't know this at live, but I went back on tape and saw that on the TV copy. But, yeah. I just think there was some like crowd just wasn't kind of losing on that day. That's why I don't like, I'm not like the extra point. Like, obviously you need to make extra point, but I fully think they were going for two.
Well, regardless. Yeah. I think they would have like that. That's the smart money to do too. Cause the way that UK's offense was playing.
When I was telling people in the press box, I was like, overtime kind of works to Kentucky's advantage. Because it condenses the field.
Exactly. You shrink the field up. Kentucky can run it at will.
Yeah.
And like, they're Corral not stopping, doesn't have as much space to
and
work
they're,
with.
And they're logging up snap counts. You know, they were getting up there so that defense is gas. I mean, they're just – I mean, you saw in the first OT possession, it was like cutting cake. I mean, it was just easy.
And I think Stoops was ready to go for two in that second overtime as well. I don't think any coach was ready to put it on their defense to win the game. You know?
Yeah.
Like, if they were going to get the shot, they were going to go for it. And – hell, you almost wonder if you just do it the first time, roll the dice. But to lose, like, I'm happy, Luckett, that folks haven't been fixated on the PAT. But, man, we're really going to think about that PAT down the road. Like,
anyone. As soon as he hit that upright, that's what I was thinking every time.
Well, and you know what I also thought of too? I thought of the question I asked you last week. Like, what do we think about the special teams? You said, well, we ain't seen the kicker yet.
And yeah.
I was like, oh, damn it, I jinxed us.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm really laboring over this because.
But I get back to they're a good team, and I think they can climb out of this.
Well,
like, I think they're still winnable opportunities. They just need a break. They need something to bounce their way.
Well, and you said it too, that I don't think Matt Corral was losing that day. And it kind of felt like that was the way Terry Wilson was playing too. And that's what really hurts, is that you were in a position to win a shootout against a team that can only, like, that's the only way they play. And you were able to adjust. Your offense was able to keep up with that. And that's huge. That's significant. I mean, that's what we were worried about after the first week, was their offense. Past defense, I mean, a lot of that Auburn trouble, you were like, well, Seth Williams is going to Seth Williams. But for the most part, defense did okay. They got dealt some short fields.
Yeah.
And So you're like, okay, well, if the offense turns it on and the defense can just make a few plays, and that goes to your ball bouncing the right way. Somebody put it on the turf for them. They end up getting it. You aren't getting any sacks home. The defensive playmaking, you got to get it from somewhere. You just,
right.
You have to.
Well, you look at it, you know, Kentucky's fumbled twice on the year. Fumbles are, I mean, they're pretty lucky. Like, if you get over 50% of your fumbles on both sides, that's a good year. And both of them, you know, bounce to the other team.
AJ Rose was in big spots. In the end zone too. Like, I think he was in the end zone when he fumbled it. Which, look, have you ever remembered there being so many, like, was he in the end zone? Wasn't he in the end zone? Because no. I'm pretty sure that Ole Miss guy was in the end zone too. I think they've all been in the end zone. And they're just caught, like, I don't know.
That Ole Miss one was weird. That one was weird because his whole body was in it, but the way he was holding the ball was like, you could see maybe it was outside. So, I mean, Kentucky was kind of due for one. After, like, you know, like, people were like, you know, you need to bench Rose. You don't. I mean, he's a senior. He made a mistake. But that was kind of like the football gods kind of striking back for.
No, that was definitely that. Karma helping out.
Right. So that one, I just, you know, that's just you ask for that when you pull a stunt like that, I think. But I don't know. I do think they're a good team. I think defensive issues, they do have some. Like, DeAndre Square was supposed to be a guy that was going to have a big year.
I was getting ready to look up how many tackles he's had because I haven't noticed him at all.
You watch the tape, you watch the game, and it's just kind of like, where is he at? Mm-hmm. He made a big play down at Auburn, but other than that, like,
and that was two guys are blitz too.
Like, there's three guys really popping for me when I watch Kentucky play on defense. Pascal's been an animal.
Yeah, Eden.
Jamin Davis, I think, has been really good. And then Phil Hoskins hasn't, like, made the big plays yet, but his pass rush is getting there. Like, it's close.
I would say
those are the three guys.
They've gotten good.
Bohan has been good too. It's hard for a nose to pop though. Yeah, like, if you just watch it, but he's been good. But like, Square was supposed to be kind of the guy,
right?
And it just hasn't been there. I mean, he's been solid, but it's just like, it feels like they need more playmaking or something out of him.
No, I agree with you because I think even somebody just tweeted that at me the other day, like, hey, where is that guy? And, you know, I bet some of it too. Like, I mean, when you think about the kind of square, the kind of position that Square's been put in, he's been a 1-2 punch with Chris Oates throughout his whole career. They've kind of been running mates. And now Chris goes down.
Yeah.
Ward knows what's in, and now it's kind of put on him. So I'm sure there's a lot of weight on his shoulders.
Yeah.
And also, like, there's been a lot asked of him in these first 2 weeks. Those offenses don't exactly make things easy for the inside linebackers. There's just a lot of misdirection happening, a lot of stuff where they try to confuse you. Maybe this week can be a spot for him. I mean, they're going to go after him this week, so he's going to have plenty of opportunities. We know Michael Leach loved those meshes, yeah. So hopefully he gets one of those where he just, as you said, cuts them in half right across the middle of the field, and they can kind of just get
– catapult them, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, momentum matters in football, and I think it just takes, you know, a couple big plays to get going.
Yeah, I do think, like, Stoops has built this as an old-school kind of SEC team in a way where you got a really strong offensive line. We're going to run the football, control the clock, play ball control, and not necessarily have our offense, like, not beat us, but have our offense just do enough, and then our defense will go win the game. But, you know, when you play teams like Ole Miss – you're going to give up yards, going to give up first downs. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a lot of possessions in the red zone. It's all about forcing kicks and getting some timely turnovers. And when you look at them, they've gotten one pass breakup in two games versus a lot of passes. So they're not even in position to get a turnover, and they can't force kicks. Like, there's an advanced metric I really like. It's called, like, you know, scoring opportunities. When you get the ball inside your opponent's 40, which means you're a first down away from field goal range pretty much for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Basically, so, you got a runner on second.
Right. Kentucky's defense in these opportunities, they've been in, you know, I think the number's 14 now or something around there. They're giving up 5.92 points per possession. That's almost a touchdown per possession. They've gotten two stops. It was the fourth and goal and the DeAndre Square stop in the red zone. Other than that, they've given up eight touchdowns. I think they have 10 possessions. They've given up eight touchdowns. So, like, 5.92 would be, like, the very bottom of the country if you stretch it out for a year. Like, that has to get better. Like, that's inexcusable. You cannot play defense like that modern day. You have to get timely stops on your side of the field.
Well, and it should be easier to. Like, with right. The field's condemned, they're probably going to be trying to run the ball more. And I do think that, like, maybe there is something to – we spent all these years trying to – like, Kentucky for the longest time, and the guy that's going to be on the other side on this weekend is a big part of it. We thought you had to be gimmicky to win at UK. Kentucky finally gets a guy who builds the program to win traditionally SEC football, stout run defense, run the ball. And then now all of a sudden we got the Lane train and Mike Leach and all this spread junk that, I mean, is good. Like, the defensive, the traditional run game, I think it's been like 120 yards in 2 weeks from, like, running backs. All of the leading rushers are always the quarterback scrambling in the last two weeks. So they can stop the run, but are they twitchy enough to get to the passer and create a little bit of havoc? And, you know, how much did the offense help the defense last year? How much did the weather help the defense last year against the pass? I'm sure that played a significant role, but it's just so frustrating that it feels like you finally are able to run the damn ball in the SEC and stop the run. And now the SEC isn't what it's always been.
Well, football's changing, I think, for sure. You heard Stoops kind of allude to that Monday, where you've got to be able to score points and throw the ball, you know. I think that's where everybody's going. You see Alabama, LSU. I think everybody's kind of going that way. I think Kentucky's getting that way, too. I think they're trending in that direction. I think you see how they're recruiting a receiver. You've heard them talk about how they need to – how important it is to get their passing game going. They're just kind of – you are who you are. You got to play who your team is. But, yeah, it just seems like you finally get a year where, you know, you get that O-line. You get a pretty good D-line. Looks like you might have, a really good run defense, and then you come out and you play three teams in a row that just kind of, spread it out and throw it on you. And you're just like, what the hell?
Man, speaking of O-line, how great was that block by Luke Fortner on A.J. Rowe? I mean, there's another play like it that they're going to show at clinics. The AJ Rose touchdown. I mean, it was blocked perfectly. The point guard wraps around.
Yep.
And I mean, that's why Rose thought he was free, because I don't think a guy even
could. He didn't. He never knew that guy was right there.
No, he didn't.
He thought he blew past that last guy. He thought he was all alone. He just didn't know that guy was there.
Which, man, you always got to think there's somebody there.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you got to feel him or something.
Yeah. I'm just on the bright side. We'll go to the bright side of things, because we've beleaguered the wrong side of things. Pro Football Focus, big fans of the Kentucky offense. And one that was, I don't know if it was surprising, but, I mean, Chris Rodriguez was the top-ranked running back in the country. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, he averaged, what, 7.8 yards a carry, something like that? 7.2?
Yeah, he had – that sounds about right. I got to pull up right here.
Career high in attempts, yards, and – touched it. I mean, it was
7.8
across the boards.
133 on 17, and it was just chunking them. I mean, his long was 22 yards, but just like that success rate turn that'll be thrown out. Rodriguez was just keeping the team ahead of the chains and consistently moving the ball. And I think he's a guy this week, Nick, without smoke. Like, I think he's gonna have another career high in carries. I think he's gonna carry the ball probably around 20 times Saturday.
Well, and I mean, I don't – so if y'all miss it, Kavassier Smoke, he will be out for – I'm just going to call it a month at least. He's got some broken ribs.
Yeah.
That's a weird injury. And by the time the bye week rolls around
– right.
You know, the 4 to 6 weeks.
That's what I was thinking.
6 weeks. So, it's a bummer, but you narrow the rotation some. Now you've essentially got two. I know Grant's talking about playing some of the freshmen, but I think we're going to see the workhorse start working like a workhorse this week against Mississippi State. And Luckett, I don't want to you know what? Why the hell not? Let's talk about Mississippi State, because everybody's very fixated on the air raid and Mike Leach, and rightfully so, especially because the air raid holds a near and dear spot in a lot of Kentucky fans' hearts. But the more I hear about it, the more it's talked about, I'm pretty damn worried about this Mississippi State defense and the funky-ass 3-3-5 that they're going to bring out there to Kroger Field Saturday night.
First off, I want to ask you this before we get to Mississippi State's defense.
Okay.
Okay, so there is a very good chance Ole Miss is like Texas Tech level with Mahomes, worst defense in the FBS. Like, I think that's a possibility.
Okay.
But the offense just went out, put up 400 yards rushing. I don't care if you're running on air. you look at the backs, plus you got the QB run game added in. They averaged, you take out sacks, they were averaging right at 8 yards of carry. Like, on right. air, that's hard to do. And they really only had – they only had one run, I think, over, 35 yards, and that was the Rose run. So it was just chunk after chunk after chunk.
It was the fifth most rushing yards ever in a UK football game. Right. And now – so in the last four games have been two of Kentucky's greatest rushing games ever. The Louisville game and then this one.
And then – you look at the passing game, okay. Yards per attempt is a number I've thrown out a lot. Like with Terry, that's what I thought was a key metric to him. Can he get to that 8 number? When he doesn't target DeMarcus Harris, he's averaging like 8.8 yards per attempt in two games. Now, not to throw DeMarcus Harris on the bus, but he's got some drops in there.
Yeah.
So, like, I just think there's some signs with this offense. Now, this could be, Ole Miss and being a bad defense could be totally diluting it. But I just think there's some signs where this could really be the best offense we've seen here in, of the Stoops era. And, you're going back to maybe 2010, 2007. I just see some signs there. Now, Terry's got to keep coming. He's got to keep proving they can throw the ball, but he's completing a high rate. He's not really making bad decisions. He's got a couple throws there that are, close to being in trouble, but –
Let me ask you a question, Luckett. You pulled out that metric. What's your anal Luckett this week? It's the score runners in scoring position.
Yeah, it's scoring opportunities, points per scoring opportunity.
Do you have UKs? Do you have that?
Yes.
Do you know what the UK offense is? Because
3.86.
Yeah, and that's it. It should be better when you can run.
That's
the
what
ball
I'm saying. Like they're leaving can. Points like they're leaving points on the field, but you got to think they're gonna figure this out.
Well, and I mean, the DeMarcus Harris drop was – that's one of them where you're right there and you shoot yourself in the foot. Oh, man, you nailed it. You found it. The analytic that fixed it all. Runners in scoring position. Scoring opportunity.
But
that really tells a story.
That's what I'm saying.
They move the ball against everybody. Uh-huh. The last bit of the equation is capitalizing – and finishing off drives, and that was a problem in the preseason. But like you said, even in that last drive when they were letting Terry throw it a lot early on, and I'm thinking to myself, "What the hell? You've ran it on him all game. Why are you going away from it?" But man, they moved the ball down the field pretty efficiently, and then when they needed big plays on third down, they got him. Akeem Hayes has really stepped up a lot for Kentucky. I mean, He's filled an important void that they needed.
Terry made three plays on that drive that he just hadn't made in the past. Third and nine, first third play of the drive. He goes through progressions, hits Rigg, who should have got 25 yards, but it looked like he was running running like Kevin Malone in a Kleenex shoes. And so he barely gets 10.
It was like when Cruella De Vil falls in the big vat of molasses.
Yes, and
just
yes,
like climbing yes. out of it. That was Rigg, man.
Second one was a few plays later. It's the they run like a shot play, but as an outlet, Ali just takes a step behind the line of scrimmage and just stands there to the side.
Yeah.
And Terry, in the past, if you wait too late on that, it allows the defense time to come up. But he hits it soon, and that gets Ali 12 yards. So it's not open, getting your check down quick, delivering an accurate ball where a guy can catch it and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third play, all right, he gets grounded. That was a bad play. At the game, though, Upshaw was in that area. Like, I don't think it should have been grounding, but Terry, the pocket was there. He didn't really need to throw it away right there. If you're going to throw it away, just, pick a different spot to throw it away. But the next play, he comes back and throws a strike to a Hayes, who was open, but I don't think that was an easy throw.
No.
And so those were three plays that show me. I was like, well, like, that's something. Now a lot of this, we got to see it more against than Ole Miss, but they move the ball against what I think is a good Auburn defense, and on like five of their 11 possessions, so almost 50%, they had a scoring opportunity, and they never had good field position the entire game. So I'm just looking at some things, and I'm like, they're hitting some checkpoints, and like they're going to start breaking through soon.
They're doing well on third down too, which
has... Yeah, 60%. Yeah, that's another key metric. If you're hitting that, that's pretty daggum good. And then the ground game is just – it's such a monster, I think. We're going to get into how it breaks down against Mississippi State, but the offensive line is great. It's really good. They're doing a lot more pulling this year with their guards.
I love it. Absolutely. And
I think it fits Horsey's game better than just mauling inside. And then you got the QB element, and Terry's running well. And that I thought that run, the touchdown run at the end of the first half, was probably his best run, because he made a cut like I've never really seen him make before.
Terry showed patience in the running game. He tried, and it was one of those things where coaches, you can tell who they're kind of talking about. And when they're saying guys are trying to do too much, Terry was trying to do too much against Auburn in the cute run.
Yeah.
I still hate the quarterback draw where, like, because people aren't really biting on when he does his little fake pass thing. Like, just let him do like a classic read option kind of look. Because every time they run that play, I feel like whoever the running back is has an enormous hole. and instead, Terry can't run it. He's got to find some other place. Nevertheless, Terry showed a lot of patience. He ran the ball well. Stoops was really pleased with the way he played. So was Eddie Grant. There was a couple other kind of thinly veiled remarks where I feel like Stoops was talking directly at the cornerbacks when he said that we don't have the right combinations in our pass defense. That was just like, well, sounds like it's coming to you guys. Like, they might not, his words were, they might give you the most athletically, but mentally they're not there. It was like, pew, pew, shots fired.
Mm-hmm.
And then today, I thought we heard a lot about Mike Drennan the first few weeks of camp. Hadn't heard anything. So finally today I asked. And he was like, some people, it takes him a while to get it. His isn't mental part. He needs to get in the weight room. And I was just like, oh, well, there's no chance he's playing this fall then, if you're saying that. Which concerns me, because it shouldn't take like – do you really need that much time in the weight room? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just a maturation thing that Grand was kind of alluding to, where he gets it, but he's not completely in the – he hasn't completely turned it on yet to where he's ready to be a day-in, day-out SEC football player. I don't know what it is, but it's a damn good thing Akeem Hayes is doing things, because if not, there isn't a whole lot else there in the slot.
Yeah, I think you're going to start seeing that wide receiver rotation kind of shrunk down a little bit too. Now, I think they feel comfortable with Ali. Hayes, obviously, I think they feel comfortable Daly. They get Bryce Oliver back this week.
Yeah, I need that back.
Who's going to take some of those snaps away from Harris. Now, with Harris, though, I will say, like, you can't throw this kid just to the bench yet, because he has the best top end speed, I think, of all their receivers. And he gets clean releases off the line. When he got pressed against Ole Miss, he got a clean release almost every time. And all those throws Terry threw to him, it was because he got a clean release. He just didn't finish the catch. You just got to hope he can get there. But you've already seen some drops and a fumble. Like, you feel like his chances are running short now.
Yeah, and you just hope that that's freshman jitters.
Right.
Like, that's what you hope for. Because, like, you, catching passes, it's something he's been doing forever. It's not like he just forgot to catch passes. But it could be a thing, too, where he thinks he's getting ready to get his first touchdown. In both instances where he had his biggest mistakes, he can see the end zone in front of him. And he's getting ready to make the big play, get a little wide-eyed. You hope that that's just a freshman thing and that he can get past it.
Yeah, I mean, Terry's got to make a better throw on that touchdown, but it's a catch you got to come down with.
Man, Freddie pointed it out too, and so did Van Hiles. He was arguing with Mark Berger over it, but like Terry got rocked on that throw. So he did. It's tough to step into
it, but he would want it like you know, you don't want to overthrow it. You're right. If you want to miss, you want to miss short.
Right.
But I think Terry would even say he would want that throwback.
Yeah, definitely. But like we said, all in all, there's a lot to like about what UK's been doing. They're getting closer on the pass rush. They're running the ball effectively. Terry Wilson's looking better. But you need more from your back seven on the defense. You just need a lot more from them. A guy that I was ready to just hang out to dry, he was going to be my pinata, made a hell of a play to get that stop. Ty Agin knocked the absolute dog crap. So good to see that. But we got to see more playmaking from those back seven in the defense. Mm-hmm. And they're going to get plenty of opportunities against Mississippi State. You all know very well how the air raid works. And like it, man, we've got Mississippi State fans. They're getting the full air raid treatment, and it's only two games.
The total Mike Leach effect.
We're going to throw for 600 yards and beat the defending national champs 1 week, mm-hmm. and then we're going to lose to a team that hasn't won an SEC game in 17 years in the next week.
And they did it by a pretty conservative kind of defensive approach, too. Literally, Nick, every play of that game, except a few possessions in the red zone, they were dropping eight. Just dropping eight. And it wasn't just like a prevent drop eight. It was three deep. And then they flooded the intermediate. So, like, the 10-yard areas, they had five guys from sideline to sideline.
It was so funny. There was one video you tweeted out where, like, Costello, like, the linemen are just standing there. And Costello is like, can I make this? Like, he's just, like, staring him down. Like, can I make this throw?
Mm-hmm.
And he finally hits his check down at, like, 5 yards. And there's four guys just
right there.
Tackle. It was so funny. It was so funny to watch.
So that's what they did, and it really befuddled Mississippi State all night, because when you do that, you're telling the other offense, they were daring Leach to run it, because they're giving you 5-6 yards if you just hand the ball off.
And they didn't have Colin Hill either. He went out in the first quarter. Yeah,
now that hurt. That hurt.
He's going to be back this week, though. Yeah. Oh, he says what Leach said.
So Leach's stubbornness to not run it, plus they take the deep ball away. And where Costello struggles is, like, he's still new to this offense. And I think on some of the intermediate stuff throws, he's not, like, you know, precision, like, accurate, like you would have to be when you face that many defenders in an area. And you got to know exactly where you're going with the ball.
Timing, and I think that's, like, comfortability with receivers. Yes, timing. Like, do you trust him all the way, you know, to make that play? And correct me if I'm wrong too, Costello, he's no Matt Corral or Bo Nix with his legs, right?
No, he's a statue in the pocket. Here's the best news about moving forward. Kentucky's not going to face what I would call a slippery quarterback the rest of the year. You look at Costello, Garantano, Mr. Stetson Bennett IV at Georgia, Connor Bazelak.
Yeah, well, look at you forgot about one person in particular.
Who's that?
Your guy. Your favorite player in the SEC that doesn't go to the University of Kentucky. Bryce Young.
Now, that's the one. That's the one. But even – that's the one. If they play Bryce Young. But you look at, like, Kyle Trask, Colin Hill. He's got no knees at South Carolina. Like, they won't – like, the pass rush is going to get chances to tee off if you're moving forward.
Right.
So that's the best news, I think, for Kentucky moving forward. That they don't have to deal with that really anymore.
Man, See, here's the thing. Like, I'm happy we're doing this now. I was dreading it before, but I feel like we're providing not only optimism, but Kentucky didn't exactly have it's trial by fire this year in the worst way possible.
Yes.
It really, I mean, aside from starting Florida, Alabama, like, you know, the schemes that you're going up against, what you're trying to play against, and it's going to be
new coaches.
Yeah, you don't really know what they're going to give you. And they had a lot of, they've got a lot of skill talent at receiver. And the receivers this week, look at Osiris Mitchell. He's a brick shit house. That's a big old boy. He's good. But aside from that, it's just a lot of big guys who don't have a ton of experience. There's not that wiggle.
That's not really how Leach wants to operate either. He wants more, you know, shifty, quick guys.
He wants some yakums.
Yes, to get separation, make easy throws. Like, when they line up, they could have five wide and they could have every receiver over 6'2". Like, there's just not guys that are small on their receiving core. They even got Garrett Schrader playing out of the slot, the quarterback from last year.
Wait, he didn't transfer?
Mm-mm. He's playing receiver. He caught a ball last week against Arkansas. Caught a screen for like 2 yards.
That's weird, man. You would have thought he would have been like, he would have hit that portal right away. But I guess he thinks, you know, maybe mm-hmm. he could be an air raid quarterback one day.
Mm-hmm. So, like, they don't. Like, it's a lot of – like, they have 6'6", 6'3", 6'4", you know, 6'5", you know, a lot of tall, lanky wide receivers, which really isn't his really M.O. to have that. Well, he would like maybe a couple, but would have, like, prefer to have a bunch of good slot, shifty slot guys.
Yeah, and those big guys, they didn't do a whole lot after the catch last week. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find
this. Which yak's the key to this whole game, I think. Is yeah. when they catch it, getting them on the ground. Because they're going to complete passes.
Inflated by chunk plays against LSU where, you know, you get free and against a man defense, there's nobody there to stop you. But against LSU, Mississippi State receivers, 8.4 yards after catch per reception. Against Arkansas, 3.2. And mm-hmm. the good news is for Kentucky fans too, is Mark Stoops' primary defense is – a variety of what Arkansas did. I doubt it. Look it that he'll try to do the same thing that Sam yeah. Pittman did, but Barry Odom, excuse me. We can't be slandering Barry Odom. Stoops and Barry Odom are boys, mm-hmm. but you know that he's going to be sitting back in that zone for the most yeah. part.
Here's the thing where I just don't know if he would be willing to institute this game plan. Now, Stoops, at least from what I can see, Kentucky is like, they likes to be a cover one, cover three defense. So they'll always have the one deep safety, but then they can drop three, or they can come up and press you out of cover one. And both of those coverages are probably the best to support the run because you have a safety coming down in both right. of them, coming downhill.
And the difference between the two is corners dropping deep or just playing up in man.
Yes. And you can show press to both of them. You can show off. You can do different stuff. But anyway, essentially, Arkansas didn't play with an outside linebacker in their 3-4. They just got rid of it. So they play with, you know, three down linemen, two inside linebackers, and six defensive backs. So, you know, you probably had, you know, your two corners, your nickel, and then three safeties. So for Kentucky, like, would you be willing to just not having Boogie Watson, J.J. Weaver, Jordan Wright on the field? And are you really comfortable to throw six defensive backs out there after yeah. what we've seen?
Not exactly the strength of your defense right now.
Right. So I'm very interested to see what he does because I went back and watched some Washington tape too.
Oh, Washington tape against Mike Leach.
It was a lot of that 3-2-6 kind of look. Now, where Arkansas, they only rush three. Washington would bring four a lot of times, but they would bring up from a blitzer from mm-hmm. an unspecified area.
Just to try to mess with the offensive line, so mess with protection.
Yeah, or just to get some pressure on them at different spots. I mean, that's kind of the formula, I think, is what you've seen in some area of that. But I don't know how Kentucky would pull that off with their personnel because – there's no way you can play your best 11 without Boogie Watson, who is another guy I think they're they need more from.
Right.
So how do they figure that out is something I'm going to be interested to watch early in that game to see what they do.
I think they're comfortable enough with Boogie's ability to play that hook curl.
Yes, he's good enough to play that, and it could come up. And let's face it, like in the meeting room this week, they're like, all right, let these SLBs catch it. But when we come up, you know, we're going to clobber these guys.
We're making feel it.
Yeah. So our guy Bumper Pool had 20 tackles last week.
I saw that. That's crazy. 20 tackles. Jiminy Christ. So, and also the fact that Bumper Pool is actually getting good. The fact that Sam Pittman has done so well so early, like he was the hire that I think everybody loved, but they were like looking at Arkansas and like, ugh. Could be a great hire and only win zero games this year.
Yeah. Barry Odom's a pretty good defensive coordinator.
Yeah. And man, he just, every time I see Missouri football game, I just get mad that they fired Barry Odom for that nerd Drinkwitz. What, the quarterback that he trotted out there was the worst. I mean, it reminded me of watching that Western quarterback against Louisville. He was terrible. He couldn't complete a pass. He was horrific. And they
played like he gave Tennessee some problems.
He was dropping some dimes, man.
Yeah, he can spin it.
I was shocked that it took him that long. Now Tennessee could run on him, you know, pretty much at will with that offensive line. Man, you want to talk about a Spider-Man meme of a game at Tennessee Kentucky game next week? We don't even
know. Oh,
man, they're just going to just. Except the one difference is Stoops likes his quarterback a little bit more than Jeremy Pruitt likes his.
I've got a take for you, Nick. Kentucky can just find a way to win on Saturday. You take this to the bank right now. Like, Kentucky's going to win in Knoxville. No, they're winning in Knoxville if they find a way to win this Saturday.
I thought you were going to say they're winning out through the bye week. I was about ready to, let's go.
Because this Tennessee, the Kool-Aid, it's just too much. Like, they're getting too much for what they are. It's way too much.
Oh, Jared Carantano's a good quarterback now. Look, you haven't heard?
I just think Kentucky matches up well with them, and I think some of this early season adversity would help. It's going to help them in that game.
Right.
And I think it's going to be – it's going to be mucked up. I think Kentucky's offensive line is better. I think Tennessee's offensive line has more, you know, recruit star power. And I think Trey Smith and Cade Mays might be the best two if you are just picking from a group. Well, Kennard's in there. So between those three, you know, you pick the best two. But at the other spots, I think just Kentucky might be more well-rounded. I just think that's just, you know, you win here, get some momentum. And I think, you know, week after they play Georgia in a game that's going to be really hyped up, Bama's on deck. I would like Kentucky to win if they can get this win against Mississippi State Saturday. But we can talk about that next week.
Right, we can. Tennessee, eat it. I want to go to Kentucky's offensive line right now because they've got a challenge this week. They're going up against a Mississippi State defense that is unlike anything they've seen. And the 3-3-5, they actually saw one last year. You know, I asked Landon Young about it. He's like, yeah. He couldn't remember that it was UT Martin. But Eddie Graham was very specific that this 3-3-5 is not the same 3-3-5 that they saw back then.
Yeah.
UT Martin probably did it out of lack of anybody to play defensive line. But this defensive coordinator from San Diego State, am I right about that?
Zach Arnett, yes.
Yeah. What did Stoops call him? Rocky Long?
Yeah, he's off the Rocky Long tree.
Right. And this, it's that kind of defense. And essentially what that means is they just do a lot of movement to try to confuse you. Mm-hmm. And they've got Mississippi State Bullhogs in there moving around instead of your little guys.
Undersized D linemen, yeah.
Right, at like West Virginia when Rich Rod was there. So it's
here's the thing with the – here's why coaches use the 3-3-5, why they would go to it. You're always going to have seven defenders in the box, eight if you want it to defend the run. The opposing offense never knows where that seventh defender is coming from. So – it adds an element of surprise that the defense or the offense has to be prepared for. But a kryptonite of a 3-3-5 can be a really good offensive line. Because a 3-3-5, they can they can shoot certain gaps to take advantage of a, you know, a bad offensive line and really hurt you that way. I think if, you know, if you can make the calls and recognize who's coming from where, if you can do that, which is where Jake Jackson, you know, really thrives.
Right.
I think Kentucky could, you know, kind of be a kryptonite to what Mississippi State has been able to accomplish early.
Well, I think too, when Kentucky is like, your responsibilities aren't so much as I'm blocking this man right here. Uh-huh. Their responsibilities in a zone blocking scheme are step to this hole and you've got this kind of path. And you're charged with opening up a path here. And
if you get them slanting the wrong way, it could open up opportunities.
Well, and especially the way that they were cutting back last week. And, you know, you talked about that cut that Terry made. I mean, you can really get this defense off skelter. Now,
yeah.
What I think is going to be important, though, is being able to get those aggravating yards if you aren't capitalizing early on, because the holes are going to eventually be there.
Yeah.
But you're there's going to be times where they do just overload the gap you're going to, and you're just the play's busted. So am I right in saying that this is probably going to be kind of feast or famine of sorts at time for Kentucky in the run game?
Yes and no. The one thing Mississippi State done, they haven't really given up big plays, but when you look at them, they're not getting like tackles for loss in the run game. The best part of their defense has been their pass rush, which they're, you know, they're bringing seven. You don't know really where they're coming from. That's been the issue. Teams pass blocking against them. But I look at Arkansas. Arkansas offensive line stinks.
Yep.
Rakeem Boyd, I think, is banged up. They couldn't really run the ball on them. So Arkansas, I kind of throw that as a wash. Look at LSU, totally rebuilt offensive line, trying to find an answer at running back. LSU, their longest gain by a running back was 12 yards all day, but they still found a way to average, you know, 4.4 yards a carry with their backs.
Oh, geez. Well, if you're letting Kentucky get that much ahead of steam, geez.
That's why I think Rodriguez is really important in this matchup. Like, here's what Jay Rose is as a runner. He's boom or bust. You give it to him 12 times because, you know, one or two of them could go for 50. And so you're willing to live with the 10 carries for 32 yards because you realize that 11th tote could be for 45. Where Rodriguez is more, you know, just the fall forward. Nothing's there. Grind out 2 yards. 4 yards is there, but break a tackle, get seven. And then you add in the QB run element. And I think what's going to be also important in this game is we're seeing different stuff from UK in the run game. You know, obviously that inside zone stuff's there. You're getting the zone read stuff with Terry. But they're running counters and they're running tall sweeps and they're getting to the outside more than they really have in the past. And that's the place where Smoke, I think, has impacted the game. So not having him, I think, hurts there. But that's a place I think Jutaan McClain could make an impact. We heard about this guy in camp. I'm really high on him. I think he's a patient runner, so I don't think he's going to go in there and just run into people. I think he's going to be a guy that let blocks set up. I think he's a guy who could maybe get 5 or 6 touches and maybe, you know, make an impact in this game. And then, obviously, they want to go on and pass the ball, but I think in this game, like, Kentucky needs to stay within their identity. Like, I think if they just stick with a ground game, it's going to work. But if you get pass happy, that's where Mississippi State can really affect the game because their pass rush is really good. And that would be my worry. Kentucky's been good in pass protection, some, but Terry has taken some sacks that he shouldn't have taken, where he needs to get rid of the ball and he's kind of eaten it.
I mean, the intentional grounding point.
The sack on fourth down, where you cannot take a sack there. At worst, just throw the ball to the end zone.
And you could see they were showing blitz too. Like, of course they're bringing the house. That was frustrating. But I mean, like, if you've taken a look at a little sneak peek at the forecast, looking like it's going to be a soggy Saturday night at the Krog. And if it's a soggy Saturday night, it could
be. Do we know anything about the wind yet?
That 2018 wet game where Josh Allen hit Nick Fitzgerald 11 times before, and I think he sacked him like 4 times in the final two possessions. Like he finally got some home there at the end. They called like seven holding. Well, they missed like seven holding penalties as well, and they finally called one or two towards the end. Man, Josh Allen, he was so much fun. That guy. Oh, that was good times. Remember him?
Well, he like the superstar player on defense is obviously they're missing that a little bit. You know, Josh was that where he just took games over in the fourth quarter. And he did the same thing kind of in the fourth quarter of the games. I think they're missing that a little bit. And also this is a game, man, we haven't really talked about not having him much, but Chris Oates, he was made to play in this game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even last week, I think they missed him a ton last week. Just kind of patrolling that middle. And like when Corral gets out, that was the guy. He was the eraser. Like
right,
when
right.
the quarterback gets out there, that's the guy that's going to make a 7-yard gain into a 2-yard gain because of his range, how fast he can close, his tackling his ability in space.
His reactions are so quick. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, man, that's a real shame. I'm curious who's going to be rocking the 22 this week, though. I don't think they put that out there. Quite yet. So, Upshaw got a catch.
I think also this week, Upshaw, we haven't really seen yet, but I think this could be a game where he could take advantage because Mississippi State doesn't really want – they're not really a dime nickel defense. They're kind of in the same thing. I think you can match him up with some of their safeties or smaller guys and maybe let him take advantage or get him on these big linebackers because these linebackers they have are like 250, 260 pounds at two spots, and the other guy's 230.
Hell,
these
Justin
Rick. Just run stuff.
You can run by that guy, Justin Rick.
Oh.
Oh, man. Well, in addition to the Kentucky game this weekend, Lockett, we got some nice games on the board. And if you're looking at the board and need a place to bet, you need to check out my bookie between the NFL, college ball, Major League Baseball playoffs. There's really no shortage of games to watch. We're recording this right now during the middle of game three. There are 4 playoff baseball games today. Louisville got a college football game on a Friday night, a little Friday night lights action. You need sports to bet on. MyBookie has you covered. Even if you don't like the big favorites or just a crazy-ass parlay, MyBookie is the place to go. Spreads, futures, player props. It's never too late to get in on the action and start turning your sports knowledge into cash in your pocket. Sign up at MyBookie, and when you do, use our promo code PERSONNEL, PERSONNEL, to claim a deposit match, $1 all the way up to $1,000. So if you just want to throw $100 in there, they'll make it $200, and you're going to let that ride for quite a while by listening to 11 Personnel. We're going to give you some winners. They're going to match your money at MyBookie, and you're going to just keep rolling that cash over. Get a big old pile of cash, getting that nice bonus to get you rolling. Use the promo code PERSONNEL at MyBookie.ag to get started winning games today. Look at the Kentucky is actually a favorite in this game against Mississippi State. And I know you weren't surprised, but I know some folks out there were probably like,
Nick, I got a question for you.
Sure.
When was the last time Kentucky was favored against Mississippi State?
It was in 2018. Oh, God. Oh, we're going to have to go real far back, aren't we? I mean, was it Rich Brooks, Sylvester Croom?
No, just after that, 2009, Dan Mullen's first season. Kentucky was a 3-point home favorite, lost at home.
Jiminy Christ.
I think Mississippi State ran for like 380 yards in that game. That's how long it's been. Like, we talk about the series and how, like, nip-tuck it's been and how important it is for both programs. Entering the game, at least, Mississippi State had what seemed like the better team every year since 2009.
Yeah, and it's really what used to be the kind of how's your season going to go kind of game. It used to be a Louisville where you see right off the bat in week one, how good of a team do you got? And now it's kind of Mississippi State. I mean, I remember that 2018 game, and it certainly gets kind of lost in the shuffle amidst the other great games that happened that year. But I think there were a lot of fans who kind of thought that, you know, maybe Florida wasn't that good. Maybe that was a little fluky, like, you know, Terry hit a couple big passes. Mississippi State, that was a test where you were fighting fire with fire, and you didn't know if Kentucky could win that. And they did, and it was, all right, well, this team is for real now. And they were the rest of the season, aside from that one rough game. So, this is a game where they've been really bad on the road in Starkville. But you can turn your season around if you not only are beating Mississippi State, but, hey, why don't you cover a spread as a home favorite? Be nice.
0-7.
Jesus. 4-3 straight up now. That's the real bad, is that you're losing straight up. You're not even covering close, Stoops. Come on. Throw us a freaking bone.
And the Lions, I tweeted out what they've been. The biggest one's been 11. So, I mean, they've all been mostly one score type spreads.
That was that Vanderbilt game that was
2018.
Yeah.
100 mile an hour winds rolling through Kroger Field.
That was so bad. I actually do want to talk about some other games, though, before we kind of weigh out how we think the game against Mississippi State's going to go down. And Pittsburgh Boston College, that just is the most ACC just crap fest ever. Which I'm not going to watch, but it's going to be a crap fest. I mentioned the Louisville I mentioned the Louisville game. They're favorites against Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech a live dog on Friday night?
Dude, I think they are. I mean, who isn't a live dog? I mean, that that quarterback is going to commit like two turnovers.
Yeah, he's a walking turnover.
But, dude, he can score 40 points against that Louisville defense. I mean, who can't?
Yeah.
Pitt, that's
the best time to bet.
Team that can't.
Best time to bet home dogs, too, is those weeknight games, Thursday, Friday night. Short week, usually. Everything's a little different. Home team usually has some juice in this game. But, like we said, it's different this year. But, yeah, I mean, I could see it. That's a bit low-key big game for Louisville.
No, it definitely is.
Don't want to lose that one. But you mentioned that Boston College, man. I threw out my Boston College stat last week where they're just ridiculous against the ACC.
Right.
So I'm probably going to be on them again this week. And not to toot my own horn, but Luckett's Locks. It drops every Friday on KSR. We went 5-0 last week. I know a few of you all were right there with me, so – we're going to try to keep it rolling here. Oh, the man. SEC unders have been good to us.
Dude, the PT's picks of the week, I was so mad at myself because we had that the military game where there was two stats. One of the stats was 10 out of the last 11 underdogs have covered. And the other one was unders are 35-9-1 in the last 15 years.
We talked about double dipping on here.
Well, I went with the under. Week. Mm-hmm. Instead of the underdog. The underdog won outright by 30, and then it was a push.
got the number,
It was a freaking push. Oh, man. That I'm sure that was brutal for some bettors out there. This line in I'm looking at Tennessee and Georgia, I don't know how I feel about it because I don't think – like that's another under game, right?
Yeah, I'm on the Georgia under train. I'm playing them for the third week in a row this week. What's that? 43.5? What's it at right now?
I'm seeing it 42.5.
Oh, it's all right. Yeah, it's dropping. You could have got it at like 45, I think, which is what to get it. Yeah, it's dropping fast. I got it at 43 right now, it looks like.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the
– people are on the Tennessee Kool-Aid. I mean, that line's dropping. It's down to 13 now, but I like the under. Kirby Smart, man, he sits on these leads, man. As soon as the offense went in the tank and Stetson Bennett's back there, they're going to win every game 24-10.
Stetson Bennett, like, I know JT Daniels has the picture of the most Georgia quarterback ever. Stetson Bennett the fourth, my God. Like, I don't even know what he looks like, but I know exactly what he looks like. He's the most Georgia quarterback I've ever heard.
Connor O'Gara put out a picture today. He kind of looks like Corey Matthews.
Does he got the curly hair too?
Yeah, a little bit. Like not as much as you would like. If you're gonna do that picture, I will know if it was as much as I would say he would look like, but you could see the resemblance.
Right, right.
Gotcha. And also, people, I mentioned the Tennessee Kool-Aid. Like, I've heard so many Stetson Bennett takes this week. Stetson Bennett, the third best quarterback in the SEC.
Oh, Jamie Newman, first rounder kind of takes. Gotcha.
I'm just like, guys, man. Our Georgia has given up 16 points in 8 quarters. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't take much to play quarterback for them for what they're asking him to do. Like, no, let's pump the brakes a little bit here.
It's the same thing with it's folks who are complaining about Terry Wilson when the offense has almost 600 yards. Yeah. Like, you're like, a little misguided here.
It's Tennessee is good enough on defense. I think this is when we start to see some of the chinks in the armor of Mr. Stetson Bennett IV, a guy who was a walk on. So I think this game I see, 23-13, something like that.
Can South Carolina cover an almost 2-touchdown spread? Can they score enough points to cover that much against Vanderbilt?
Here's the thing with South Carolina. Like, they're scoring some points, but they're not getting really big plays. Like, they're very much 4 or 5 yards at a time. Will Muschamp had a – they're down 2 scores. They go on a 17-play, 52-yard drive, eats like 6 minutes of the clock to pretty much bleed it out. I don't know. Like, they don't get big plays. I think I don't think they're far from, like, I guess a little bit of reality hitting them. I think they're kind of hanging – they're doing a good job to hang in, but I don't think the big play has been there, and it's hard to last if you're not getting big plays.
What I think's wild – in Missouri LSU, the line is up to 20.5, and Missouri's bad. Don't get me wrong.
Did you hear the news with this game?
Yeah, it's getting moved to Missouri because of Hurricane Delta coming towards the Louisiana Delta. That line hasn't moved yet. I would assume.
Yeah, I was wondering how that would affect it, right?
But I mean, am I reacting too much to LSU to think that that's a lot of points? And Basilak actually might be good enough to let him hang in a little bit.
Yeah. LSU was one we hit on last week. That was a perfect spot for him. Bounce back.
Right.
Vandy got a little too much credit. If you look closely, that game against A&M really wasn't that close. This one, Missouri does have some pop on offense, and they just played Bama kind of tough at home.
Yeah, they got the kid from Virginia Tech, grad transferred, Hazleton.
They got
some playmakers,
and Basilak showed a little something. Like, that's a stay away, I think. But yeah, I think if you're going to play a side, it seems like Missouri probably the right side to play there.
The CBS game this week, or no, it's not even the CBS game. Oh, I got it twisted. It's the noon on ESPN.
CBS took the week off, I think. Oh no, CBS is in Georgia. That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. They're just going to be staying there for a while. Florida, Texas A&M. Man, Jimbo's seat is getting hot. But here's the thing. I would think that Florida could be able to score like 100,000 points on them because the Colin Kyle show is freaking good. But Florida can't stop the run at all. I mean, their rush defense is just abhorrent. And it's to the point that, like, as many points as they scored, like, I would rather flip the Ole Miss games and stuff this year, get them early in the season, just run it down their throat, because Florida's rush defense is terrible. So, like, Kellen Mond, he's not nothing home to write home about, but, like, Texas A&M should be able to run the ball against him and at least put him in some manageable situations. So, I mean, the explosiveness of Florida's offense would probably scare me enough to stay away from it, but I kind of want to zig and zag here because Florida cannot stop the run.
Yeah, I mean, if I was going to play that, I'd play the home dog there.
That
line, though, it's scary because it's trending in A&M's direction. But it's at that 6.5, and I hate 6.5 and 7.5. Those are, like, so weird numbers. It feels like you're just asking to get beat when the numbers are like that.
I don't mind 7.5, though, because you're getting the hook the other way.
Yeah.
Well, you are if you're the dog, I should say. But it – you know what, like, it is kind of nice to get in this grind. This will be the first time we've had to wait for the Saturday night SEC Network primetime special.
It's back at home.
Yeah, no. And it's gonna be a late night on the blog. I'm gonna be pouring some cocktails at 2 a.m. trying to chill out from this game. And here's the thing, this is a game I think I'm gonna go back and forth on, like, hour by hour throughout the week.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Because on 1 minute, I think Kentucky's going to be able to run the football on them, and this is the kind of game they want. On the other hand, like, Kentucky's pass defense has been so bad, and Leach is going to leach. Like, if he wants to be at his best, he wants to – he doesn't strike me as the real – actually, he is the vengeful type, the way his animosity towards Texas Tech. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's going to be back and forth throughout this entire time. But I think we can state, as a matter of fact, that this game is really going to swing Kentucky season, because it's hard to ask fans to be confident going to Tennessee when you're 0-3 and you've lost to both Mississippi schools. It just is.
There's three things, really, when I look at this game that I think you feel good about. Number one, it's not tempo. I think even Stoops admitted this week, tempo really messes with them. And people may think Mississippi State, Mike Leach, run tempo, but they really don't. Like, they're a lot like Kentucky, where they'll run a play, they'll get to the line, but then it's look, take time, snap the ball around 12 to 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when Auburn and Ole Miss got a first down, it was sprint. They were trying to snap that ball before the clock hit 30, the play clock, before 10 seconds went off of it. So this, I think they're going to be able to take, you know, their kind of their time and make sure they're set up and stuff. So I think, number one, that's good. Number two, Costello is not going to run around and make some plays and escape the pocket and throw up to, like, a big X, Y receiver who's just better than your corners. Like, Mississippi State doesn't really have that. So I think that helps Kentucky. I think that's going to help their pass rush. And then number three, you look at Mississippi State, their run defense is top of the charts right now. But when you do a little digging, they're not really getting negative plays in the run game. And LSU, with their traditional running game, was able to have some success without really popping a run. So that's a number that, to me, has really been built on sacks. So I think Kentucky's going to be able to run the ball. So let's see. We don't know with Kentucky's defense. Hopefully it was more Auburn than what we saw against Ole Miss. And hopefully getting out of tempo and having a, you know, a target that their pass rush can kind of eye on and go get rather than a moving target back there. Hopefully that helps. And hopefully maybe Matt Corral's just a dude. And that was maybe the biggest issue last week.
Right, because I know a lot of folks would immediately point to, oh, well, the weather was bad last year. That's why they were so good against the pass. Well, the best quarterback you also played for a long stretch was Jake Fromm. And, you know, no offense to your wife, but he's not exactly the best thing since sliced bread.
They didn't see anything like what that Ole Miss attack last year.
No. So I want to be optimistic, look it, because I really want to squash the air raid. And I want to end with this, because this is your galaxy brain take that isn't galaxy brain. It's right on the money. Kentucky fans got their brains warped by the air raid in the late 90s. We just did. Mm-hmm. And part of it, we were spoiled with generational quarterback talent in not consecutive years. There was a year in between. But you have Tim Couch and Gerald Lorenzen quarterbacking your team for 8 years.
And like, Mummy came in right after Bill Curry, where a broomstick could have been coaching Kentucky football and people would have been over their heels with them. So it came in a perfect spot after like 8 years of Curry, where people were just, you know, sick and tired. And then you bring this guy in, you're just doing weird stuff. And
playing Jimmy Buffett and warm-ups, you know.
Right, yeah. So people thought it was cool. And then you got a generational talent from the mountains come play quarterback who ends up being one of the best players in program history. It just kind of was a perfect storm. But you're right. Two decades later, it's still an issue, I think, because, within the fan base.
Because when anything – I mean, like, there's a degree of it everywhere where – when problems happen, it falls on the quarterback's shoulder. Football is a quarterback's game. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we are with our quarterbacks as Georgia is with their offensive coordinators. You can't – Georgia will never have an offensive coordinator that's right. Good enough for them. They just won't. And I think that's kind of the case with Kentucky, where the one exception we have to that is just because Steven Johnson was basically had like one good joint left on his body by the time he was out of here. We loved his grittiness, but Andre Woodson's the only guy that's been able to live up to the hype since those early days. And even he took a lot of crap early in his career. The guy who came after him, Mike Harline, he put up some crazy good numbers. I mean, he might have been a turd to a degree, but he was a good quarterback, and people just completely overlook it. And for folks to, I don't know what it is about Terry, but I would love for Terry Wilson to put the team on his back to get 350 total yards, a couple of touchdowns, and put the air raid to bed against the air raid in Lexington Saturday night. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, to me, it comes down to, can Kentucky's defense, can their pass coverage, you know, make the plays? You know, can they be in position, limit the yak, tackle in space? We just haven't seen it. That's the hard part in picking this game. It's just,
well, we saw it last year.
Roasted.
and that's where it's so difficult, because you've seen it at points, but you just haven't seen it at all this year. So what Kentucky are we getting? Are we going to get a pissed off Kentucky? Or are we Kentucky feeling sorry for themselves?
Yeah, I think that mental state, I think, is a big part of it. You don't know until even the coaches, I don't think, are going to know until they play and they start the game.
But I do think there is something to your team takes on the identity of your coach. Kentucky's been good with their backs against the wall. And if this could be like the Mississippi State game in 2016,
even the South Carolina game, I would more compare it to that game of that year, where you start out, you blow that Southern Miss game.
Yep.
Your defense gets embarrassed at Florida. New Mexico State scores a boatload of points on you. And then you're playing South Carolina, a team you're favored over, a small favorite, a team that got a new coach. Who's overachieving early in that new coach's first year. And it's kind of, you know, you got to win this one. If you don't win it, Mark Stoops was in big trouble. And they went in and it kind of catapults them to a good year, and their defense played well in that game. And then they found a star in Benny Snell in that game. Can they kind of have the same results in this one? It's going to have to come a little different. Obviously, there's some different elements at play, but they've been there before. The coaching staff has, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to hope they can figure it out. I think you would think that Stoops and White are probably going to have their guys ready to play this Saturday, I would think.
I'd hope so. I'd hope they get out there, get a little nasty. Kentucky did great in the middle eight, deferring. Hopefully that trend continues.
Another thing about that Ole Miss game we didn't get into. There's some key metrics that I look at in every game. Usually the winner comes out of that. You know, you look at yards per play. You look at, you know, success rate. You look at middle eight. You look at chunk plays. Kentucky won they won all of those and still found a way to lose game. And they were only minus one in the turnover margin, and Ole Miss didn't score off that turnover. That turnover created a short field for Kentucky.
Right, right.
So that was kind of a wash. The fact that they lost that game, it just really came down to – Ole Miss maximized their scoring efforts, which gets back to my point. Like, Matt Corral was just not losing that game. That's what that felt like to me.
Runners in scoring position.
Yes.
Actually, if y'all want to Google it, scoring opportunity, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
just change it to runners in scoring position.
We could. I just like that we've got new Analytics every week. Like, making Analytics a regular feature. Like, my bookie, they're going to be sponsoring Analytics from here on out. Which, by the way, use that code PERSONNEL, and maybe my bookie will want to keep on sponsoring our wonderful show. And even though it was a little brutal to relive some of it, hopefully this has got you in the right mindset to be prepared to lace them up for Saturday night. It's going to be football weather.
Back in our element. SEC Saturday night special.
Oh, man, it's right where we want to be. I walked outside the other day, and I was like, man, I bet Luckett's got his receiver's gloves on right now. He's ready to go.
No, I needed to turn a little bit more. Win this one, go beat Tennessee, and then let's get about 34 degrees when Georgia girls in town at 24.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's do it. Get the ball rolling back in the right direction. This is 11 Personnel. I'm Nick Roush. He's Adam Luckett. Let's get a win. Go Cats, and go Kroger.